Hallelujah. Are you guys ready for the Bible?
Yes.
Woo! Praise God. Amen. Okay, lift your hands up and thank God and bless Him and say, oh, hallelujah. You're so good to me. You're merciful. His loving kindness is fresh and new every morning. Oh, thank you for the healing ministry that you've given me. Thank you for the healing gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've given me. You've given me fresh manna from heaven. Thank you for the leading of the Spirit, oh dear Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray everyone will find a leading of the Lord to get out of where they're supposed to get out of and come to a place where they need to be. I thank you that you remove every obstacle that's caused them to stumble, caused them to be hindered, caused them to stop and to be discouraged and feel dismayed. In the name of Jesus, remove every hindrance from their families. Sickness and disease must go. All poverty and lack must go. Discouragement must go. Everything that causes them to want to give up, in Jesus' name. So I insert my faith with them. I join forces with them. And we believe that blessings are on their way. That healing is in progress right now in your body. That the money you need for that project is coming in the name of Jesus. That the word you need from somebody, that person that you want in your life, is coming your way right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for souls to be saved and people to be healed. We're praying for notable miracles. People with blind eyes to see. People who have ears that cannot hear, they will hear. People who have incurable illnesses will be healed from cancer and heart disease and blood sicknesses and drug addictions in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody stand up and begin to praise God right now. Come on. Let's go ahead and thank Him because we're trusting Him. We're believing God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We believe you. We're standing on the word of God that this is going to happen. We're going to see it right here in Faith City Church, 360 Black Bay Road. There is a call going out. Hallelujah. Something's happening. Something's already begun in this church. There's a fire. There's a fire in this church. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, you have to forgive my exuberance, because every once in a while, I kind of let my Ojibwe-ness comes out in the Holy Ghost, and I just really get excited about God. I want to tell you something. The devil is a liar, and he's been telling people that you're not going to prosper, you're not going to succeed, your marriage is gone, the people is gone, nobody loves you. You're going to die early. You're going to die with bad sickness. You're going to be locked away. But God promises every one of us long life. He said, I wish above all things that you may prosper, be in health even as your soul prospers. 3 John 2 says, Psalm 91:16 says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible says in Psalm 23, he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comforts me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup overflows. Jesus said, I have come to give life, and I've come to give it abundantly. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. He said, I've come to give you the abundant life, the life that overflows to the full. Maximize blessings. Glory to God. Amen. He said, praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, and supplication for all saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I better get a hold of myself. I'll come back here again. Okay. We are going to look at something, if I can get started. The problem with me is, I did tell you I was going to give you a teaching that is going to help you this morning. I believe is going to help all of us. And that is, let's see here if I can find it for you. Praise God. There's so much information in the Bible. How many people found that out? We talked about being led of the Spirit. And two scriptures that we've been using, actually mainly just two books, you would say. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 16. Then we went to Proverbs chapter 20 and 27. And we said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That scripture tells us that anyone that is a child of God, that is born again, should expect God to lead them, him or her, in every area of life. And so we're going to give you seven reasons why people don't do that. And we also mentioned there in Romans 8, verse 16, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so the Spirit bears witness. It tells you that the Holy Spirit on the inside of you will enlighten you. So Luke, I'm going to give you this. You can help help me out here, and because I don't know what the message there over there. I hope this is the right one. You can give that to someone in the back. So God, by his Spirit, will bear witness in your heart to lead you and guide you. The Bible says that the first thing that the Spirit does when you get born again, Holy Spirit comes into your spirit. That's been prophesied by the prophets. If you read Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the Old Testament, the prophet said in the new covenant, he said, I'll make a new covenant with my people and I'll put my Spirit within you. And in Jeremiah said, the Holy Spirit will lead you. That was not given in the Old Testament, but given, fulfilled in the new covenant, because Jesus had to come. When he left, he said, I'm going to send somebody just like me. In John 14, 15, and 16, you can read it. He said, I'm going to send somebody just like me. His name is Holy Spirit. And he's going to live in you. He's going to tell you things. He's going to talk to you. He's going to tell you everything that belongs to me will be revealed to you. It said that in the scriptures. Jesus does not lie. And when the Holy Spirit came into your life and you got born again, he brought to you everything you need to live victorious in this life. And the truth of the matter is that churches don't teach it the way they should. Pastors maybe are not teaching it the way they should. Yes, we do have troubles. Jesus said we will have troubles. We'll have these frustrations and hard times. But he said you can still have peace in the midst of troubled times. And that's the supernatural that passes beyond all understanding. Paul says in the sixth chapter or fourth chapter of Philippians, he said that passes all understanding. You don't understand how you can have such peace in the midst of storm. The Holy Spirit came inside you. He brought faith in you. He brought all the fruits of the Spirit that will begin to develop in you. It's your job, our job, to develop that peace and joy inside of us. And when he leads us, he's going to lead us with joy. He's going to lead us with peace. He's going to lead us with confidence. If someone is being led and they're not confident, it means they didn't hear from God. You got to know what the Bible says to be led. Now, as I mentioned, the Holy Spirit came into your heart when you got born again. He put that Spirit, the Holy Ghost, inside you to lead you and guide you. Just like he led Israel with the pillar of smoke during the daytime, and a pillar of fire in the nighttime. That pillar led the Israelites through the wilderness. It's the same process. Whatever the Holy Spirit led them out into somewhere, they followed. And you and I, it's a type and shadow that we follow this fire in pillar of cloud. This is the Holy Spirit now lives inside of us. And he leads us with what we call the witness. Everybody say the witness. on the inside of you, sometimes you're making a decision about finances, about relationship, about very important matters in life. And you have to follow that witness because you don't have all the calculations. Sometimes the calculations are so real there that you want to follow them, but the Holy Spirit says, no, go this way. So you follow the Spirit. And he'll take you into where you should be and taking you out of where you should be out of. So that Holy Spirit comes inside you. So the same way when you got born again, the Holy Spirit shows you that I'm born again. The same way he shows you that you belong to God, that you are a child of God. He tells you, you are mine. I love you. And, and he tells you that, he shows you that Jesus is real. The Holy Spirit shows you Jesus is real. Heaven is real. That same knowing on the inside of you, that same awareness inside of you is the same way that God will lead every one of his children in every matter of life. He gives us the Bible, the scriptures, so that we can have a roadmap. You're not given every detail about, you know, what job you should take or what that person's going to look like if you're going to marry them. But he gives you an overview of what this should look like. And you have to discern by the Spirit, this is the situation. This is the house I should buy. This is should I buy this car or should I not buy this car? Maybe I should buy this, but not now. So those are the things, that's how he leads you. And this is where we're having trouble, is that how to follow that situation in our lives. And it takes time to develop that. There's a process of developing that awareness of being led regularly every single day. Because we are physical, natural beings, we tend to follow emotions only. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. It didn't say we walk by emotions. We walk by the way it looks like. No, we walk by faith. So we walk by the word first. We consult the word first. Is that in the scripture? And if the scripture, if whatever witness you've been getting, yeah, I see that. Yeah, okay, that confirms it right there. I'm going to go that direction. If we have to make decisions on everything because we see them, we would never follow God. Because it's never convenient to follow God. It's never convenient to do something for God. The devil will always make it inconvenient for you to follow him for his plan. Because you matter in someone's life. All of you, those of you that are watching, you matter to somebody. Scientists tell us, social science tell us, that you will in your throughout your lifetime you'll affect so many thousands of people. And right now, there's at least 6 people in your life that you're impacting in a powerful way. 6 people at least right now in your life that you're affecting in some very, very powerful way. Someone is watching you. And so we're studying this. Now in Proverbs 20 in verse 27, this is written long before Jesus came. Proverbs 20:27, it says the spirit of man, that's your born again spirit. You're born again, your spirit is born again, has a unity of God in there, has a nature of God in there, has the Holy Spirit in there. He said the spirit of man is the candle. What does the candle do? It lights up everything. Back then they had candles. Today you would say the light bulb or whatever. He didn't have LED lights back in his day when he was writing that. So he has to write it so that we can understand. So the spirit of man, your spirit, is the way God will enlighten you, the way that God will give you information. The word light or enlighten also makes this implication, or at least inference, and that light is revelation knowledge. God will transfer you to your spirit revelation knowledge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible said that the man doesn't know everything. But in 2 Corinthians 2, it says in verse 12 to 14 over there, around there, it says in there that the Spirit will tell you everything you need to know, what belongs to you. And the Holy Spirit will lead you and transfer information to your spirit. That's why Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus in chapter 1. There's two prayers we call the Pauline prayers, or some of them call them the apostolic prayers. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 to 21 and 22. Paul prays, I pray that your heart, your spirit will be enlightened. That's revelation knowledge. I pray that your spirit, your heart will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the glorious riches of his inheritance of those that belong to him, what belongs to you. God wants you to know what belongs to you as a Christian, as a child of God. Don't you want your children to know what belongs to them? It's amazing. But in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 2, in verse 14, the Bible says the Holy Spirit was given to us that we might know. That we might know. Jesus said in John 15 and 16, he said the Holy Spirit will show you things and reveal things to you. And so the Holy Spirit plays a significant role in our lives. And we fail in these matters because we haven't paid attention to the Holy Spirit. We haven't paid attention to the witness on the inside because our feelings are louder than the witness. Because our minds have taken kingship in our lives. We walk by our mind only. We just look at the calculations. We look at this and that, and we figure things out. We fail to ever look on the inside. We said, God, I know this looks good. I know that car looks good. I know that woman looks good. I know that that job looks good. But what are you saying on the inside of me? This morning, I turned on the television, and Joel was talking the same thing we're talking. My wife told me, hey, Joel is teaching your message. I said, yeah, no, he watches my show. I send him my tapes every week. And so thank God. Everybody say, thank God. Thank God. Lift that hand up and say, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Amen. Say, thank God he's leading me right now. I'm going in. Hallelujah. Amen. So wherever it is, you're going to the promised land. You know, the promised land, God says to the children, you go to the promised land. That's all. That's the promised land basically is all the promises that's in the Bible. God wants us to know things. He wants us to understand these things. And here's the trouble. Over in Philippians, or excuse me, over in First Peter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, casting all your cares upon him. Yeah. All your anxieties. All your cares. All your worries. Once and for all on him. Because he cares for you watchfully and affectionately. The Bible says, then he says, be alert, stand, be alert, because you have an adversary who is called the devil. He walks around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. He doesn't have to devour you if you know the word of God. He can't dominate you. Amen. 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 You know, James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Yeah. He didn't say sleep with you. Resist the devil and he'll flee. Yeah. Flee, F-L-E-E, flee. Yeah. If you look in the dictionary, it says to run from you as in terror. Yeah. So he'll flee from you and me. Yeah. Not because of who we are, because the name of Jesus and who we are as his children. Amen. And so he says we have to watch. So he comes. The devil will come and he'll appeal to your senses. He'll come and give you visions in your mind of defeat, of despair, of worry, of failure, of discouragement. He'll keep showing you these things. He's very persistent. And the Bible says the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 here, it says there. The weapons of warfare are not carnal, are not natural weapons, but mighty through God. They're pulling down of strongholds. Now the devil will try to build things in your mind, but he also try to build things in the natural to stop you from going and follow God. You put up every distraction that's in your way. Paul said the devil hindered him many times in the New Testament. He hindered it. Look at the word hindered. Get your Bible out and follow hindered, and you'll see that in there. It's in there. If you look in the word hindered, you might see somebody's face in there. Oh, that's who that is. It's hindered. Mr. Hindrance. Mrs. Hindrance. Distractions. Hebrews chapter 12, 1-2 and 3 says in there that there is a race that is set before every one of us. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, he says to Timothy, he says, I've finished my race. I kept the faith. But in Hebrews chapter 10, he says, every one of us has a race to run. Every one of us has our own race. My race is not your race. What affects me doesn't affect you. What affects you doesn't affect me. You ever notice that? Like you could put all kinds of food in my home. I will not eat it. I'm not that kind of a person. I don't eat. I'm not addicted to food. I don't have any problem. But you put other things there. If you put some hash there and some grass, I'll start eating it. Like a cow. But there's other things that affect me that's not going to affect you. Amen. Don't look down on somebody else. Oh, look at that person. No, you got something wrong in your life too. So Bible says we run our own race. So the devil knows from generation to generation what affects your family, what has been affecting your family the most. Amen. The Bible calls generational sins. Generational sins. Sins of the father, sins of the ancestors follow people. Different demon spirits follow families along the way as you travel around. And they hinder people. They affect people. They'll try to come. Every often, if you notice that one family might have cancer, everybody seems to have cancer there. Somebody has addiction. Everybody seems to have an addiction found in their family. Somebody has mental health issues, and they have mental health issues in their family. So you can break the curse in your life. You can break the curse now in your life, because when Jesus comes in your life, you can break the curse. He said the curse has been broken because Jesus is in your life. Come on. Yeah. The devil will try his best. As I said, he's like a roaring lion on your weakest moments. Now the devil will try to attack you in your best moments. He'll just let you go on like you're not. You can mess up all you want. He won't even touch you. He lets you go as long as you want to. He just said, "Oh, don't bother him. Let him go. That's Christians out of whack. There, let him go, and then we'll find a way to get him somewhere on the line." You think you're getting away with sin in your life? No, you're not. It catches up to you. So the devil knows he's got traps set up. And because your life affects more than just you. Your failure affects more than just you. Your obedience affects many more people. The blessing carries on in our lives. Yeah. Amen. Amen? Amen? We are blessed people. Yeah. We are very blessed people. Let me just give you these points before I, before, okay. now it's my introduction. I'll start my introduction. 7 common reasons why believers miss God's leading. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God." And then Romans 8, 14, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." We read you that. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean onto your own understanding." That means you can't figure it all out in your head. I like this version in the Message Bible. Read it. It just gives you another way of looking at it, but means the same thing. "Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." We have a path. We need direction. And that's what we're talking about. The Holy Spirit will lead all of us. So all believers can avoid, you know, the difficulties that will stop you or hinder you. You know, you can get hindered in life for maybe 2-3 years or 6 months. If you get so devastated emotionally, you cannot serve God anymore. You don't think anybody, anything else about God, just yourself and how bad you feel. If you got so much emotional problems with your finances, you're just, you can't help anybody. You just, all you're thinking about is your need. If somebody's sick in your family, you don't think about anybody. You don't think about praying for anybody. You just think about yourself. He'll do whatever he can to get you off course. He'll just say, just take a break from church and just go somewhere else and just forget about church. You're inoperable. You cannot help anybody. And God wants to talk to you and help you. So God wants to raise a generation of people who are fearless and who are strong. Their commitment to God is that, you know what, God, if you don't ever bless me, I'm going to serve you anyway. That's what the three Hebrew boys, right? And Daniel chapter 3, there are three boys. The king says, if you don't worship me, I'm going to throw you in a furnace. And the boys said, King, we cannot worship you. We have a God. You're a man. You're going to worship God only. He said, our God will rescue us. See, they had faith. But then again, their commitment said, they said, King, even if you throw us in the fire, we will still not bow down to you. That's your commitment. That's the kind of commitment you need. You need to say this, you know what, if my wife dies, if my children die, if I lose all my money, I'm still serving God. Now, you don't like to hear that, but that's what you have to, that's the Hebrew boys said the same thing. You have to serve God and stand strong, and no matter what happens, you're going to serve God. I told the Lord, I refreshed myself in the Lord the other day. I said, God, listen, I told you that when I was sitting beside my mother's bed and she's dying of cancer, I said, I'm serving you, and I'm still going to pray for the sick. I'm going to do whatever it takes to serve you. That's my commitment. I said, the Lord, last night I said the same thing to the Lord. I said, God, I'm committed to you. I'm going to serve you. Failure or not, hindrances or not, my commitment is to serve you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you for that one clap. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Now, let's thank God. The Spirit-led life is something that we all need to follow. We all need to follow the Spirit of God. We need to follow God from the inside out. I'm having trouble with my internet here. So please pray for me right now. Sometimes how many of you are facing tough times? Huh? Anybody like me, you know? Or just I'm the only one here that has trouble? Yeah. Some of you have some extra. You want to give me some of it? No? Why is it that when you want your... Why is it I'm losing this for some reason? There must be something going on with my internet. Or is it your internet? Thank God. Okay, here we go. We want to have, you know, God will lead us. He does lead us, you know, sometimes unusual ways, but that's not the most, like I'm talking about, you know, somebody gives you a prophetic word, all of a sudden God sends to you, a prophet, gives you a dream, or you heard somebody speak to you from heaven. So the first reason that people fail to follow the Spirit and miss out is this. Number one, they've never been taught. They've never been taught, never been told that God will lead them. Here's what I found among Pentecostals and charismatics, people who've been born again, they're brand new in the Lord. They figure that Holy Spirit, that God will lead them through the gifts of the Spirit all the time. That God's going to speak through some glorious fashion, So they're looking for some spectacular something, this great emotional thing, and they're just so disappointed. They're waiting for the prophetic word, the prophet to come out. They're waiting for the gifts of the Spirit to come out. And everybody, everybody sees it, and everybody knows it, and you get goosebumps. And so there are people waiting for that kind of thing. But that hardly ever happens. So they've never been taught how the Spirit leads them, like Proverbs chapter 3. They're looking to experiences, and they're looking to circumstances to instead of God speaking to them in their heart. Secondly, churches fail to explain and train people about the human heart. Churches are failing to train people about how to develop the human heart so that they can have the capacity to hear God and to be sharp in their spirit. For instance, if you're a person that always feels sorry for yourself, you ain't going to be led by God. If you're full of selfishness and anger, you're not going to hear from God because you're so clogged up in there that it's hard for you to, it takes a while for you to get yourself together. Now, these points are teachings in themselves. And if you look at it and very carefully examine it, you'll see this in the scriptures. The Bible says that everyone can hear from God. So, church at large has failed to help people train the human heart. And then we see another point. Why are people failing to hear from God? It's because people are too busy with their natural side of life. They become insensitive to God. Too busy. Too busy to pray in the morning. Too busy to pray at night. Too tired to pray at night. They don't give God their best. They don't read their Bibles. They don't read the scripture every day. They don't study the scripture every day. The only time they hear scripture is when somebody preaches it. We ought to preach to ourselves and talk to God. We should say, oh, thank you, Lord, for this scripture I'm reading. And you know, so forth. They don't ever buy materials that would help them or listen to things on the Christian teachings or, you know, I don't know how many times they go through various series and just listen to them. I listen to my car. In my car, I could listen to, whatever 80s music, whatever. But I don't. I listen to it sometime. I don't just sit there all day long and listen to whatever comes on the radio. I put scripture on every single day in my car when I'm alone. And I don't offend people. And just if they sit in my car, you have to listen to this. No, I just want to be courteous to people. They might not want to listen to Brother Hagin. They want to talk to me or somebody, like, you know. So, you know, we have to feed our spirit, amen, train ourselves. So people get too busy in the natural side. Number four, people are eager to follow their own plans and ask God to bless their plans. Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. There's things that people do that God's not in it. There's nothing wrong. It's not sinful to build a house or a garage. It's not sinful to build a garage or whatever. But you can get so tied up in stuff that it takes away your concentration on things that are God. I'm serious, because people get so busy. That's why the Lord told me, Paul, when I got born again, the Lord said to me, quit hockey. I hated to quit hockey. Yeah, that's my wife. I played 5 days a week. And, you know, I enjoyed it. I loved it. I love playing hockey, man. The Lord said to me, I want you to quit hockey. You need to give that up. And I was enjoying it in my 20s, man. I was rocking in my 20s. I was probably playing the best hockey in my mid-20s till about 30. Then it was downhill after that. You give up hockey for 10 years, you try to come back, you know. So the Lord said to me, give that up. That was hard for me to give it up. He said, you're spending too much time thinking about doing that. You're spending too much time about getting rested and eating the right kind of food and going to bed at a certain time and being here at a certain time, buying this kind of stick and buying this kind of visor and buying this sweater and making sure you have this and making sure you have that and spending all my life putting that. It's not just an hour. It's your whole life spells out. So too busy with that. So I was doing my own plan. The Lord said to me, that's why the Lord said to me, spoke to me. He said, do you love me? I said, yes, Lord, I love you. He says, you see that car? Give it to John. I gave it to John. I said, John don't need no car. Look at this. He's got two cars in his driveway. And I felt the Lord was doing something in my life. It has nothing to do with John or him. It had to do something with me that God said to me, if you love me, you're going to give everything that you think that's you. You're going to strip everything that you think that you build up in your mind that's you. Your hockey, your sports, your cool life, your education. The Lord said to me, stop going to that pursuing your PhD and follow me. God will take everything in your life that you think is valuable in your life, and he'll tell you to follow me. So we gave up our careers. My wife and I gave up our careers to have. I was mad in some ways. I said, Lord, look at those guys. They have two houses. They're traveling around. They're going to these countries, and they got all this stuff. And we could have done the same thing. But to build the kingdom of God. It's a different story to build the kingdom of God. You don't see everything here. And you invest your life in people's lives, and they don't want you. People, when I came here to the church or in the city, they didn't want me. Like a lot of ministers didn't want me. They said, you can't have this. You're a word of faith guy. You know, this is of the devil. The tongues is of the devil, and so on and so forth. Man, we gave our life. When people turn you away and they walk with you and they turn their backs on you, and so many times we wanted to quit. When we left for Rhema and the church disbanded and someone took over our ministry and said the pastor there called me. He says, "Don't come back here because I'm taking over this ministry." I said, face to face, I said, "How could this be? This guy's a minister telling me I'm taking over your ministry." And I said, "You can't do that. I put you in." He said, "Well, don't bother to come back. These people love me more than you, and you're out of here." My wife and I, we said, "What is this all about?" See, the devil will do everything he can to discourage you, destroy you, to throw you aside. Especially when people don't want you. And I'm glad I had those encounters with God. I'm glad God called me personally. When I became a minister, I had so many upfront obstacles in my face. You say, "You're no good. You're just a throwaway. Your life, you had a divorce back in your old life. You can't ever be a minister. You're just an Indian." In my face. Who's going to listen to you? You know how Indians are, right? They give up and quit things. So I had to go through not just the spiritual things, but the natural things to stay on course with God. And you know, it's not easy. It's not easy following God, but the rewards are tremendous. And so you have to stand strong, and sometimes people want to, put you off. And I don't think, people might be nice to me sometimes, and they might give me stuff or whatever. I don't just say, "Look how great I am." No, it's the grace of God. The only reason why I'm here today is the God's grace. You know, it's amazing, and that's why you're here. It's amazing how he can and do stuff. So we can get so busy in our lives, and we can get so distracted from following God. So we follow our own plans. Psalm 127, I mentioned that. There's many more scriptures, but I'll just give you the number 5 is that they fail to stay in step with the Spirit by instantly obeying God. They don't instantly obey God. When God leads them, they think about it for 2 months until everything else comes in and takes away that witness or that word they received. And then they get lost. And they have to go back again. And God has to bring them back again to that other place. Not instantly obeying. And God was teaching me. I remember the Lord told me after, he said to me, "When I told you to take your car and give this to this man," he said, I was training you to follow me quickly. To not think about how you feel, not think about anything else, just to follow me. You know, when you work at something and you get something, just To me, like a car is nothing, but at that age, in my age, I thought that's a huge thing for me to buy a new car and to give it away. I didn't have any money. I worked hard all my life just to go and give it to somebody. That's hard on your flesh. And when the Lord said to me, give away, I worked hard at my education. When the God says to give it up, I had to instantly obey. Okay, Lord, whatever you want. What do you want to do? Like sometimes, you know, people think it's so easy for ministers or people to give up things and to do things. Everybody is just like everybody else. You know, so the other one here, number six is failure, the failure to let go of the past. To follow God, the failure to let go of the past, and that is letting go of all the good times. Because the pastor will call you back. Listen, come on. We're having a great time here. Come on back. It keeps calling you. Your past keeps calling you back. Look at the good times we had. Didn't we have a great time? Then also, the bad things of the past. The hurts. The disappointments. If you hang on to that, you're not going to go forward and follow God. He said, listen, last time, remember what happened to you when you went to church? And look what happened to you. And you bump heads with people. And the devil tried to make this huge so that you won't go to church anymore to get away from where God's blessings going to bless you. So, anybody ever had those kind of hindrances? Is this helping only you or me? Failure of letting go of the past. That's what the scripture says about Samuel. So we need to follow. I'm not going to give you these scriptures right now. We'll talk about it another time. Seven. Why people fail to follow God? Because God doesn't give you the whole picture. And they fail to follow God because God doesn't show them everything. People want to see the great plan. I remember the Lord says, remember, we gave you scriptures. We talk about this a lot of times. You know, I always talk about it. That John chapter 16, verse 13, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will show you all things, show you things to come. Yeah. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will show you there's going to be tough. I'm going to lead. I want you to go this way, but this is going to be tough for you. I'm showing you this because when you get there, you're going to know it's me because it's going to be tough. The Lord said to me, when I went to Tulsa and was praying, the Lord said to me, the Lord said this to me. He said to me, Roma, I want you to go. This is the direction I want you to go. I want you to go to Tulsa. But I want to tell you something. I want to tell you what's going to happen here. And yet he told me, he revealed this to me, and yet I was so discouraged, even though he told me that I wanted to quit. I remember sitting in one of my instructor's office and the dean and the talking to them, I said, I'm quitting Rhema. I got to go back to Thunder Bay because the church has gone crazy and there are guys taking away my church. The guy talked to me. Okay, Roma, it's really up to you. We don't believe that you're here for a short time. We believe God brought you here. And so, you know, I wanted to see the whole picture. In a glorious fashion. Remember in John, Acts chapter 20, verse 23, Paul said, now I'll go bond in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. That he said, only the Holy Spirit shows me that jail and bonds and beatings are before me. But he said, none of these things move me. But I'm going to Jerusalem anyway, not knowing what's going to happen. Not knowing the whole detail. But I do know the Holy Spirit says there's tough times ahead. So we're to follow God, whether it's tough times or easy times. When you follow in the Spirit, He's not going to show you everything good. He's going to show you that sometimes when you follow God, somebody will get mad at you. Somebody won't agree with you. Someone's going to criticize you when you follow God. But you're going to be in His plan. And you're going to be a blessing. Hallelujah. It's amazing what happens when we follow Him. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, elders, dignitaries, angels of God, demons and around that might be nearby. I want to let you know that Jesus is Lord, that I'm following God no matter what happens. I want you to know, I want everybody to know that this man is committed to Jesus Christ, that I'm committed to the ministry. I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to finish my race. And when I leave here, Thunder Bay is going to know that Roma Fisher lived in Thunder Bay, that I was here. I'm going to leave an imprint in this society. Amen. And I didn't come into ministry just to try and fail and just try to. No, I'm going all out. I'm going all out. How about you? Everybody stand up. Praise God. Hallelujah. The name of the Lord is to be praised. Thank you, Lord. Strike me up a tone. Give me a G chord. Give me a minor chord. Praise God. John, I saw myself, me and you singing. I saw you and me singing in the spirit. I saw people being healed. Thank God. God brought you here. God brought you to Thunder Bay in this place and right now because He wants to use you. And He said to me that He wants to use you. And don't be in a hurry to push things. He's got this timing. There's some glorious things going to happen in your life. I saw myself singing with John. I saw John singing. I saw John playing the guitar. And I saw the Holy Spirit move. And I saw healings happening, miracles and signs and wonders. John, get ready. I saw miracles. I saw healings. I saw people. We prayed the other day. My wife and I prayed. I saw people with blind eyes begin to see. I saw people with incurables to be healed. Because we serve a God of miracles, not because of me or anybody else or you, because God is faithful to His word. He said, I watch over my word to perform it. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship Him for a few minutes. Let's just worship Him. Thank Him. Lord, we worship You. Just tell Him how much He means to you. Jesus, thank You. You mean so much to us. Holy Spirit, descend upon us. Descend upon us, Lord. Bless the people. Help the people. Thank You, Lord. That's what You're doing. I want to ask you, if you're here this morning, if you're here this morning and you really haven't given God 100%. My wife said to me the other night, he said, you know what? I've been serving God. I don't know if I've given 100%. So I made a commitment to give 100%. Some are hanging on to things. But if you turn it over to God and give Him 100%, He's going to give you 100%. There's somebody here that said, I'm going to give God 100%. If that's you here at this place, who is that? Let me see your hand. 100%. I want you to stand right here with me right now. The Lord said 100%. Come on up. Stand right here. Don't be afraid. You just stand right here. So I'm giving 100% to God. I'm not wasting any time. I'm going to give God 100%. Just come on up. If that's you, 100%. I'm giving God my all. I'm going to be ready. I'm not going to be taken by surprise when the enemy tries to attack me. I'm 100% for God. I'm 100% for Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The devil would like you to be fearful. The devil would like you to be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed about your commitment to God. We're all in different levels of spirituality at times, and sometimes we have to go further. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we want to thank you right now that we as a church, and I join these people here to again to say, I want to give you, Lord, 100% of my life. The covenant says, Jesus, that you died and you cut the covenant with your blood. And you said, whatever is mine belongs to you. And you give us whatever belonged to you. Whatever your death and burial resurrection accomplished, you gave to us. And now we give to you. Thank you, Lord. Let's all say this prayer. Say, God, Father, this day, in front of all these witnesses and all these spiritual witnesses in heaven and on earth, I stand here committed to you 100%. I'll give you my all, as far as I can understand, to give you my all. And I thank you, no matter what happens, like the three Hebrew children, I am committed to you. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, let's go ahead and praise Him and thank Him right now, because He saw your commitment and dedication. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to know to be ready all the time. The Lord's going to use you in a way you've never had before, or the way He had before, but maybe a little bit more. Inconvenience you sometime, maybe. Thank you, Lord. Isn't God good, guys? Yes. Amen. I love you. Appreciate you. And I know it's can be tough sometimes in life, but we're fighting a warfare. Amen. God is good. Everybody say, God is good.
God is good.
Say, His mercy endures forever. Say, I love God.
I love God.
You know what? I'm telling you, this is an encounter this morning. I've never felt this way before for a long, long time. And I begin to get these things. My life is impacted with the Lord so much. I'm stretching myself a lot. And God's requiring me to stretch even more in the next little while, more than I ever have before. I don't know what that means. You know? My wife and I, we just feel that there's a pull in our lives like we've never had in our ministry. We thought, you know, this is something. But there's something required of us more than ever before. More than ever before. I don't know what it means. I'm afraid, naturally speaking. But I know God's going to be there for me. And we're stretching. This church is stretching and the ministry is stretching. I said, Lord, how come can we stop? I mean, stop it, Lord. We're just stretched already. Amen. Let's go ahead and praise Him. Father, I want to praise you. I want to thank you. But you are good and your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, everybody. Praise Him. Praise Him. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You know what? I'm encouraged to see you guys up here. I'm encouraged. You encouraged me, man. I told my wife yesterday that you've been such a blessing to me. You and Paul, and then your life. You remind me so much of my older sister that passed on, but there's something about you that I said, I feel like I love this woman just like my kid. But I know you're an older woman, but I just feel that in my heart. Told my wife that I want to pray and believe God with you and all that. So yeah, just sometimes that happens to you. God, compassion comes on you and you love people. I don't know who you are, but praise God. There's some good things happening in your life, man. Don't give up. Don't give up, okay? I know there's been discouragements, but you keep strong. And you find somebody, you latch onto them and hang on to them and be with them. You know what? We hooked on last night. In the spirit, we hooked on last night. You're going to see something more. You know, so some of you saw this in the spirit. I know you saw this in the spirit. Some of you saw this in the spirit. There's something higher coming up. Thank you, Lord. Let's give these guys a great hand. Give yourself a great hand. Bless you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord.